Resorts World Catskills, where luxury and excitement are so close by. Catch all the sports action and so much more at Resorts World Catskills. Dial *RWCAT to learn more.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
Saturday, we will get into everything in the world of sports. We lead with tennis this morning, and I'm kidding. I would. I mean, Nadal wins again. Serena in the finals later. Matches on ESPN against Andreescu, the Canadian. But that's not where we're going to lead. We have RJ Bell at 11. We have Stump Rothenberg at 10:30. We're going to do a little football frenzy. I think later this hour, maybe 9:45 is my thought. Giants, Jets, start of the NFL season, Bears, Packers the other night in what was... See, the only reason that you were excited to watch that game is just because you miss football so badly. And Canty disagrees, and we kind of discussed this a little bit on the show yesterday. To me, and you can feel however you want, I didn't thoroughly enjoy that football game. That game to me was, it was football. It was nice to have it back. It was not well played. And Canty's like, I love defense. I love defense also, but I love defense when the defense is just so great and the offense is good, but it's incapable because the defense is so good. I don't think it was like that the other night. I think the other night it was more of just the teams are completely out of sync. Trubisky was dreadful. And I said it before the game and I reiterate it now. If I'm a Bears fan, and I like Nagy, and I like what that team has, and their defense is sensational, but you're built to win close games. Your special teams, place kicker specifically, are not good. And you're built around a quarterback who, honestly, I don't have complete faith in at all. So anything on the table, 800-919-3776. I was all poised to open Antonio Brown this morning. And what just a, I mean, just a, I don't even know what the adjective to use regarding it, like disaster, emotional mess, petulant child, like wherever you want to go. And I have some strong takes on it. We'll get into that at 800-919-3776. And certainly it's a hot topic. And the way this has transpired over the last, I mean, 48 hours is just unbelievable to me. And now last night, did you hear the latest? He's taping phone conversations with John Gruden and putting them out on social media. I mean, if you're the Raiders and you do nothing now, anything that he does to embarrass you moving forward, you completely deserve. So I was going to start there. And Edwin Diaz said, Rothenberg, no. Rothenberg, you're all geared up for football. You got college football to the yin-yang today. You got some really good games. Texas, LSU, Texas A&M, and Clemson. And he said, don't forget about baseball. Don't forget about the Mets. Don't forget about the little team that maybe can in Flushing. Yankees lose last night. Who cares? I mean, I guess, and I think Ty is like this, that he really wants home field. So you're watching the Astros, who can fall behind, by the way, by 9 runs, 10 runs, 18 runs, and it makes no difference. They trailed 7-0 the other night, came back to win. I think they trailed, I don't know what it was. I saw, I think it was like 2 or 3 nothing in the first inning, and I thought, eh, they're fine. Makes absolutely no difference. So Houston wins, Yankees lose. I don't know how focused you are, in fact, on that race and on home field throughout. Dodgers lost as well. Kershaw didn't even make it out of the fourth inning. Was not good last night as the Giants beat the Dodgers. But that's, at least to me, those are like secondary baseball items right now. And I wouldn't even talk baseball today. Like, I was all geared 3 hours, football, RJ Bell, frenzy, all of it. But we have to spend a couple minutes on the Mets at 800-919-3776. How? And maybe you can explain this to me. How on God's green earth can you be in a 2-run lead? 9th inning. Your bullpen has been terrific. I mean, Brock was good. Wilson was good. Avalon was good. Great. They were sensational last night. How in the world, with a 2-run lead in the 9th, in good faith, can you hand the ball to Edwin Diaz, pat him on the hiney, and say, go get him, kid? At this point, it's not even his fault. You cannot put him in a position where he's going to crumble every single time. Here's the thing. I mean, I'm lying there in my bed, and all I tweet is, oh dear, Edwin Diaz, hashtag NYM. Because you know. You know it's going to happen. So he goes out there. Stuff looks fine. Base hit the other way. Realmuto comes up. 400-foot home run. And he's out there on the mound, shocked, like visibly shaking and throwing his arms up like he cannot believe something like this could happen to him. And I'm lying on my bed, cool as a cucumber, sitting there going, of course. And my wife turns to me and she says, I can't believe you're not angrier. You always go crazy when it comes to this stuff. I said, because I know what's going to happen. I mean, I the script has been written a million times. This is what he is. He's allowed, I think, 14 or 15 home runs this year. He saved 57 games last year. His ERA is almost 6. If his name was not Edwin Diaz, if he was not the crown jewel in the deal that you used to bring him in this offseason, he'd be pitching in the minor leagues right now. Now, couple things. You get the win. You're excited. And I just can't let it go. Like, I have a real problem when it comes to my teams. If there's a glimmer of hope, I can't let it go. And I'm watching the game, and they're up 4-2, and I'm flipping to the Cubs, and the Cubs are getting clobbered, and the Nationals are losing. And I'm thinking to myself, you know what? Mets win, 4 games behind Chicago, 6 games behind the Nationals. Maybe. I don't think the Phillies are great. Mets have more home games than any team in all of baseball for the rest of the season. And then Edwin Diaz does everything in his power to let that game get away. And in fact, it does get away. And fortunately, Philadelphia's bullpen says, no. You think you're bad? Hold my beer. They come in, hitting batters, walking batters, Alonso walks, walk-off walk. Great, Mets win. So you're kind of like half in, half out last night. You're thrilled that they won. You're disgusted by the way that they did. Right? Is there a better way to describe what the Mets were last night than you're thrilled that they won, you're disgusted by the way that they did? And another thing, and you know I'm a Mets fan, and people say, you know, you're never hard on your team. I am harder on my teams than anybody is on their teams. You have a 6-run ninth inning. You have an epic comeback. Guys running the bases because he's tripled to end the game. You want to rip his shirt off? You know what? I can get behind that. I'm fine with that. A walk-off walk? You've got to rip his shirt off? Come on. I mean, are we serious? You're ripping Alonso's shirt off because he took ball 4 high? Really? Thrilled about the win? Go on the field, celebrate it, dance around, spray some water on him. Get back to business. And I will tell you this, and we discussed this on the show a lot this week, come to Canteen or Rothenberg. They're a resilient bunch. Say what you want. Brody did an awful job with the bullpen. Disaster. Diaz. Familia. Absolutely. They're a resilient bunch. You know how easy it would have been to blow a, you can't even say it. You know, every time I say it, I'm like, wait a minute, 6-run lead in the ninth? They blew a 6-run lead in the ninth. Do you know how difficult it is to blow a 6-run lead in the ninth, turn around, and win 2 games? Let's be fair. You beat them up for what deserves to be beaten up for. Diaz, disastrous joke. Ripping a guy's shirt off on a walk-off walk. But how many teams, in fairness, could lose a game like they did on Tuesday? One of the worst losses in the history of the organization. Turn around on Wednesday, win. Day off Thursday, come home Friday, blow another lead, and come back and win. So you say what you want. They are a resilient, resilient bunch. 800-919-3776. Mets on the table. Antonio Brown and his petulant, childish ways. If my kids acted like this, it would be school, homework, dinner, bed. This is a guy in his 30s acting like this, taping his head coach and their conversation and putting it on social media, coming out and destroying the GM, which, and you say what you want, with racial epithets And that's overlooked. He's a disaster. For everyone that destroyed Ben Roethlisberger, Mike Tomlin, Colbert, that entire organization, no, this guy was the problem. 800-919-3776. Ton to do. Opening week of the NFL. Thrilled to be here all morning. Rothenberg with you, 98.7 ESPN.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
I mean, you can't go more than 45 seconds without having an update on the Antonio Brown story. It's very small print here, so let me see if I can read what he just put on. This is Instagram, correct, Ty?
Yes, this is Instagram.
Yeah. Okay, so here we go. And this came out not too long ago. Yeah, you keep that sounder ready if we're going to be talking Antonio Brown this morning. You are going to bleep a lot of people off when you start doing what's best for you. And that's fine. And you know, bleep was an expletive that I don't feel comfortable saying. You're going to bleep a lot of people off when you start doing what's best for you. And that's fine. I've worked my whole life to prove that the system is blind to see talent like mine. I think it says mines, but we'll correct it for him. Now that everyone sees it, they want me to conform to that same system that has failed me all those years. I'm not mad at anyone. I'm just asking for the freedom to prove them all wrong. Release me at Raiders. Hashtag no more. I say this sincerely. I think something's wrong. I honestly do. Like, if you told me that he is suffering from some kind of mental illness or has early onset CTE or bipolar disorder, like, something is clearly wrong with this guy. He got everything he wanted, right? He wanted to be paid, he got paid. He wanted to be dealt, he got dealt. He wanted a new team, here's a new team. He wanted to be the guy, he's the guy. They've bent over backwards. He can't go to walkthroughs. He can't, and again, this other stuff happened, like with the cryo machine that he got into and burned his feet off, but it's like, are you kidding me? Something is clearly wrong with this guy. And I don't know whether to feel disappointed and angry or sad and concerned for him. Because let's be fair, guys. At this point, he's a walking disaster. I mean, to be out there on the field and go toe-to-toe using racial epithets against your general manager, if he wasn't great, he would not be in the NFL. And I think at some point, if you're the Raiders, you have to say, we look like a joke. At least that's what I think. Like, how much can you allow before you try and put a stop to it? Goes out there, freaks out, embarrasses himself, embarrasses the organization, embarrasses the GM, embarrasses every Raiders fan. We're going to suspend him. Nah, we're not going to suspend you. Think about what he's done in the last 24 hours. Right? Showing a letter that was sent to him on social media, going after the GM with racial tones to that, then this sincere apology of how awful he's been and how he feels terrible about it and standing up there and crying and all this nonsense, taping his coach's conversation, and now this. If you're the Raiders, you know what? I would figure out a way to suspend him, and I would be done with him. You're not worth it. And then you're going to get into the conversation. Someone's going to pick him up, and he's going to, you know, be a good soldier and a good citizen and get it done. You know what? Okay, fine. Let him go to New England. Let them win another Super Bowl. Fine. It won't be with my team. And if you're John Gruden, at some point, you got to cut ties with this guy because he's a clown. Let's go to the calls. 800-919-3776. Charles in Plainfield. Charles, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, how you doing, boss? Just to let you know, I'm a long listener to your show and first-time caller. I just wanted to go ahead and comment real quick on Edward Diaz.
Okay.
And just to give you a little bit of background on him, you know. Maybe it's been a little bit of a hard adjustment where he's coming from. Just to give you a heads up, you know, I'm from the same town that he comes from in Puerto Rico. We probably got maybe 1,000 people, if not less, in our small town. And, you know, him going to the Mariners is a different type of community, you know. Him going up there playing well, maybe coming to New York has been a little bit of an overload on him. mental. I know he's a professional ball player. I know that they're supposed to go ahead and just, you know, hey, they get paid. They're supposed to just go ahead and act upon request. But I feel that, you know, the Mets need to go ahead and look maybe at a little of his background, where he's from, and maybe trying to get him acclimated. I mean, not acclimated, but just like I don't know if it's bring his family over or bring some of his hometown friends over.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what
New York's
an animal. Restaurant to New York City or what you have to do, but clearly he's a disaster. I mean,
I know 100. I understand 100%, and that's what I'm saying. You know, you got to look into all aspects. You know, I know it's difficult to go ahead and separate the mental from the physical, but I feel that he's having some type of mental block. And I feel that maybe trying to get him more acclimated with his home or bring some people that he's you know, sometimes you have some good people by your side, but when you're on the road like that, man, it's very difficult, you know?
I'm fine with it. You want to bring his family over? You want to, you know, whatever it takes. You know,
exactly,
get him an apartment like he has in Seattle, whatever.
Just an option, you know, that the Mets should look into, man, because, you know, something so small could do maybe something so big, you know?
You know what the weird thing is? Thanks for the call, Charles. The strange thing for me is when I watch him, I'd say 8 times out of 10, I'll look at him and be like, boy, you know what? He's got really good stuff. Like, Edwin, just on stuff alone, it's kind of filthy. And I watch him and I think he's got such good stuff. How is he so bad? And it just goes to show you how great major league hitters are. Like, watch what he does. Watch how filthy the stuff is that he in fact has. And yet he goes out there and it's every time. It's every single time. It's a disaster. Adam Schefter 1 minute ago, by fining Antonio Brown $215,073 and who can forget the 53 cents last night for conduct detrimental to the team on September 4th, the Raiders voided the $29.125 million worth of guaranteed money in his deal per league sources. This could help explain why Brown is now asking for the Raiders to release him. Do you blame the Raiders? I mean, at this point, can you blame the Oakland Raiders, who in their own right look kind of ridiculous? What did they trade for him? A third and a fifth? And you're going to wind up with absolutely nothing in return. You look like you have egg on your face, and I get it. Derek Carr, give him as much weaponry as we can have going into the season. We want a big name, a splash. We're going to Las Vegas, but it's not worth it. It's just not worth it. I mean, can you believe these antics? If I would have told you this, I said 6 months ago, there's going to be a player in the NFL and gone through the different childish behavior, the verbal attack of the GM, the punting the football in front of the whole team, just from soup to nuts. If I would have told you this, you'd have said stop. No one would do this. This is ridiculous. And I'm telling you right now, and Ty, I don't know how you feel about it. Jets fans, I don't know how you feel about it. I don't want to take a call if and when he gets released of, well, you know what, he's really talented and he did play with Lev Bell and they were terrific together. No. No way. If New England can bring him in and make it work, blessings to them. But first of all, the Giants would never. And if the Jets had that thought, no way would I even consider that if I'm Joe Douglas and Adam Gase.
And it's funny you bring up Le'Veon Bell because last night he tweeted, and I'm going to read it directly. He says, am I the only one who seems to have problems picking up the croutons out of a Caesar salad? And the joke for Jet fans was, yeah, we got the right ex-Steeler, because while he's tweeting about, you know, all these problems that aren't really problems, Antonio Brown's posting videos of recorded conversations with his coach. So, you know, we got the right ex-Pittsburgh Steeler.
Oh, absolutely. And here's the question to you know, as the journalist that I am, Ty, that you respect me for being, I have a follow-up question. He's having issues picking up
croutons
out of the salad?
Yes.
Well, how is that, like... My wife made a salad last night. There were croutons in it. I actually picked them up to eat them separately because I didn't want to have them when I used my fork. Like, How is he struggling with that?
I guess because once it becomes soggy and the infusion of all these other vegetables.
And this is the guy that you're hoping will hang on to the football and not put it on the turf.
Well,
I can accept a crouton. I could see if like the waiter was diving into him and tackling him when he tried to hold on to said crouton, but he can't pick up a crouton sitting at dinner.
Listen, I'd rather him have problems picking out his croutons than, you know, feet issues and cryotherapy.
You know what else I didn't love? Oh, listen, of course. What I didn't love, did you see this from Rich Cimini? He put it out yesterday. Expect about 15 to 20 touches from Lev Bell tomorrow.
He told Adam Gase, let me go, unleash me.
I don't want 15, if he touches the ball 15 times when we get on, and they lose that game, when we get on the radio on Monday morning, I'm going to destroy the Jets.
Or what if it's just like strategic, you know, him trying to put it in the head of the Bills, you know, coaches that
if
he might.
If he's saying that and he touches it 34 times?
Yeah, like the reverse. Like he's not touching it as much as they thought he would.
No. Is he your best offensive player?
Absolutely.
I want the football in his hands. I want the crouton in his hands, Ty.
You can't find the crouton.
You can't find the crouton. Hopefully he can hang on to the pigskin. Mark in Red Bank. Mark, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for taking my call.
You're very welcome, Mark.
Yeah, I mean, Antonio Brown, I mean, this is just like, it's a video 1 second. It's Adam Schefter, Instagram, social media. I mean, this is just unbelievable. I mean, yeah, the Raiders just got to cut loose with this. I mean, you don't want this on a team, especially a team that with Oakland that's trying to rebuild next year, moving to a new city. I'm not even a Raiders fan. I mean, but let them go somewhere else. And if it doesn't work, you know, big deal if he goes and plays well for someone else. I mean, I could see a team. The Jets should definitely not do it, and I'm not a Jets fan either. But, I mean,
let a team like Cleveland,
who's crazy, who doesn't have to pay anyone besides Odell Beckham, let Cleveland go and go take a chance on him.
It's
got to
be a team, and thanks for the phone call, with an infrastructure that is so solid. Like, I mean, the Patriots is the team that just jumps off the page. I'm trying to think of another team that's just the Saints with a veteran quarterback and a head coach that's been there forever. I'd say the Chiefs, but I don't, you know, the Tyreek Hill mess would be such awful PR. What team could, not the Cowboys, the Packers, maybe?
Oh, he would not get along with Aaron Rodgers.
You don't think so?
Mercurio, and I love Aaron Rodgers, but we know how moody he can be.
Think about that, though. Adams, Rodgers, that defense.
And you're not doing that to a first-year head coach in Matt LaFleur.
Yeah, I'm spitballing, pal.
Maybe the right answer is there's no right team for him.
No, the Patriots would make it work.
I don't even think they would.
They would make it work. The Saints could make it work. You don't think he's done, do you?
Well, here's the thing. It's different from a guy trying to rebound and saying, listen, I'm looking for a fresh situation where I can go out there and have some success. His rhetoric is that he doesn't need football. Like,
good.
I don't
go.
Need you.
Go. It's sad because he's such a talented player. But in the end, you won't even remember him for being this unbelievable, you know, Hall of Fame caliber receiver. You can remember him for being the disaster that he's been over the last 72 hours. That's the truth. He's so talented. And the thing is, it's so frustrating is he got exactly what he wanted. Get me out of Pittsburgh. You're out of Pittsburgh. Get me paid. You're paid. New digs. Right? And he's still can't play nice. And they've done everything. They've bent over backwards. He didn't go to a walkthrough when they went to that game. I think it was in Canada, right? He didn't even attend the walkthrough. He doesn't show up. He burns his feet off. He yells at the GM. Epithets at the GM. Doesn't matter. You know what? We're going to play him on Monday. I mean, it never, ever stops.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
A lot of Jets-Giants conversation. Let's start it now. We'll take your calls on the Jets and the Giants, and AB, if you want to sprinkle that in as well. 800-919-3776. Let's go. Jets, I think there's real optimism. I think there should be. I think there's holes on this team which worry me a little bit. See, I kind of feel... And Ty, you can hear Jets fan, correct me if I'm wrong. Like, the Jets fan looks at this game tomorrow like, all right, we're going to go in there, we're going to beat Buffalo, we're better than Buffalo. I don't know that that's the case. Like, this Buffalo team is really good. I'm not going to say that. They have pieces that are really good, and they're a really dangerous matchup for the Jets. Their offensive line is much improved. their defense, and we just had a caller in the frenzy say, is that a top five defense? And I mean, you have to give it a real thought because it might be. They have an elite shutdown corner. That's a good football team. And everyone says, all right, so we win. We're home. Buffalo, first of all, they know you. They always play well against you. Even when they're lousy, they play well against you. Now, do they have guys on their offense? You say, oh, God, John Brown, how do we slow him down? No. But they have a couple guys, and their offensive line is better, and Josh Allen poses a matchup nightmare because Josh Allen, at any moment, will tuck it and run. At any moment, Josh Allen will 3rd and 9, take the ball, tuck it, run. And he's not like Michael Vick where he's going to just run around you. He's his own animal where he's going to run through you. So you're C.J. Mosley. You're going to go up against Josh Allen. You're the smaller of that duo. But do I think the Jets could win tomorrow? Absolutely. But I would, and I think Buffalo wins the game. I would not be remotely surprised if we get to 4:30 tomorrow and you're like, oh, I can't believe the Jets are 0-1. I actually think they're going to lose tomorrow and win on Monday night against the Cleveland Browns. But tomorrow's an important game for the Jets for a multitude of reasons. First of all, it's a new regime. There's high expectations. You know, this is not last year where it's like, oh, God, we're going to stink and all I want to see is Sam Darnold get better. You need to win football games now. You need to compete for a playoff spot now. You spent a lot of money on this team. There's real expectations. The question is, how do you meet them? And Buffalo's a really interesting challenge because their defense is good. And this Jets offensive line is, you know, it should be much better, but it's kind of put together. I don't want to say willy-nilly because that's not fair, but, you know, Ryan Khalil, you've seen nothing from Ryan Khalil. Now, Darnold's going to – the one thing that I look at and really, really just – it puts me at ease when it's the Jets right now is I just think the quarterback is so good. I think he's looked good last year, end of the season, has picked up right where he left off the beginning of this year. His moxie, his attitude, his confidence, his leadership. I mean, he's a captain of your team. He's 22 years old. So I don't know that translates to we win 9 or 10 games, but I'll tell you what it does, at least for me, translate to, you're in good hands for the future. Like, you have a legitimate quarterback, and let's be fair. If you're a Jets fan, when was the last time you could say, I don't have to worry about quarterback for the next decade? When was the last time? You thought Chad Pennington, and he was very good. But if I told you right now, and maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think so. If I told you right now that he is Chad Pennington for his NFL career, I don't think you'd be thrilled with that, would you? And it's not a knock on Chad. Like, I look at this kid and think, superstar quarterback. Real chance, superstar quarterback. 800-919-3776. I have to correct myself because I was wrong. I said the Giants have never had a 1,000-yard tight end. Mark Bavaro, a guy beat me up. How could you be a Giants fan and not know that? Mark Bavaro had 1,001 yards in 1986. So he beat it, eclipsed by 1 yard. But that was the only year he went over 1,000. And again, I could be wrong. I was to start this conversation. I don't think he's gone over 1,000 yards, anyone in the Giants history at tight end other than Bavaro over the 1,000. But Engram has a chance because Engram is not, he's not a tight end. Like he's a wide receiver playing tight end is what he is. 800-919-3776. Let's go to Chris in Jersey. Chris, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, Dave, you know, before I get my question, it's funny you say about the tight end. You know, I thought back in the Fran Tarkenton days that Bob Tucker once led the NFL in receptions at tight end, but that's pretty ironic if he didn't have at least 1,000 yards.
He might have. I mean, I was wrong when it came to Bavaro, but I remember reading something, and clearly that's wrong, that that the Giants have never had a tight end go over 1,000, which is clearly wrong with Bavaro. I'm looking it up right now. Bob Tucker never went over 800 yards.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Well, anyway, my quick question is this. Hey, I realize Eli obviously is going to start the season at quarterback for the Giants, but maybe this is more of a football frenzy question. But my question to you is, how many wins do you think Daniel Jones will have at quarterback this year?
You know, it's so difficult to predict because you don't know, and thanks for the call, Chris, you don't know how many games he's going to play. Not a lot. I'm telling you, they're going to play Eli Manning as long as humanly possible. So let's say that Daniel Jones starts six games, two wins, but I don't even care. If Daniel Jones doesn't win a game, and by week 17, the game ends, and you can talk to your buddy and say, he's going to be really good, that's all I care about. That's all I care about this year. Would I like to see Dexter Lawrence play well? Of course. Would I like to see DeAndre Baker play well? Would I like to see Jabril Peppers, who I think is going to be really good, by the way, be excellent? Of course. But the number one thing this season is for it to end and for you to be able to say, you know what? He's going to be really good. I want this year what the Jets got last year. You know what? Sam Darnold, he's going to be really good. You know what? Daniel Jones, he's going to be really good. James in Spring Valley. James, you're on 98.7.
Hey, Dave. What's going on, man?
How are you?
You know, for our Giants, this season is going to be downright brutal, and I'm mentally trying to prepare myself for the most brutal season that I've seen, and I've seen some brutal ones over the last 5 years. I like how we talk about this game is more important for the Jets, and I ask which game is more important for them. I think it's also equally as important for the Giants because, look, I know the Giants aren't going to go anywhere, but you would like to at least beat Dallas just to, you know, just to say you get off to like a somewhat of a decent start.
Yeah, so this way, you know, do you really expect to go in and beat Dallas?
No. Of course
right.
not. But at least, you know, at least be competent, be competitive, because it's like, you know, we've lost the last four or five straight games in Dallas. You know, it gets really annoying. I mean, the Jets.
I don't like it either. I mean, trust me, if there was something I could do to help the Giants beat the Cowboys tomorrow, I would absolutely do it. But Dallas is better. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what more there is to say. I mean, Dallas is a team you look at and you say that team, if things go right, could get to the Super Bowl. The Giants are not, and it's in Dallas. I just don't see the Giants winning that game tomorrow.
Just hearing Dallas in the Super Bowl, Dave, you make me want to go over the side.
Listen, James, this is not what I'd like to tell you, but I got to be honest. I'm not going to lie to you. I mean, Dallas is a good football team. Now, I think that their quarterback gets in the way because I don't think he's – I just don't trust him in a big spot. I don't think, you know, down six NFC championship game, he's going to take the football and go down the field and score a winning touchdown. But you got the Eagles to worry about too.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think this is actually more important for the Jets because if the Jets want to show that they're a playoff team,
they have to
beat Buffalo.
James,
so I guess you're right.
This is not, and thanks for the call, and I'm glad I could clarify it for you. This is not even a debate. Tomorrow is 30 times more important for the Jets than the Giants. The Giants are expected to lose this game. The Giants are a touchdown underdog in this game. The expectations for most Giants fans, the realistic Giants fan, is that this is not going to be a great season. If they do well, maybe they'll win seven or eight games. I've heard very few of any say this is a playoff caliber team. The Jets spent over $100 million. The expectation is the Jets are going to be a good football team. I'd say half the people out there think the Jets are going to really compete for a spot in the playoffs. Who's this more pressure on tomorrow? Who needs the win more? It's not even close. The Jets every single day. The Jets are home. The Jets are favored. The Jets might be better than Buffalo. The Giants are on the road. They're heavy underdogs, and they're not as good as Dallas. Way more pressure. If the Giants win, oh, it would be a shock and it would be sensational. If the Jets win, you'd be happy, but it's what you need to have happen. And a lot of you expect to have happen. 800-919-3776. Now, here's the strange thing. I think it's been 30 minutes and no updates on Antonio Brown. So when it happens, which you'd think it would soon, we will certainly let you know. 10:30, Stump Rothenberg, 800-919-3776. We continue with the NFL. Mets, by the way. And I don't know why I do this to myself. They win, Cubs lose, they're four games back. And I look at it and I'm like, you know, maybe If this happens, if that happens, I can't let it go. Like, that game on Tuesday should have been the final nail. Like, if you put 1,500 nails in the coffin, that would have been the final one. They had just tapped home, said, all right, it's over. And I can't think that the coffin's not going to pop open. And the corpse will say, not yet. 800-919-3776. Rothenberg with you on a Saturday, 98.7 ESPN.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com. He's pompous.
Listen, shut up and I'll tell you the story.
He's arrogant.
Do you think there's a lot of things out there that I wouldn't be good at?
And sometimes he's downright mean.
I know you know what that's like, to be that uncomfortable, pimply face, not very popular kid.
But now it's your chance to prove him wrong.
It's dumb.
Call 800-919-3776 with your question and let's stump Dave Rothenberg.
And away we go. A Saturday edition of Stump Rothenberg. Stump Rothenberg brought to you by the law offices of Andrew M. Cohen, a humanitarian, a wonderful attorney, and a great sponsor of Stump Rothenberg. 800-919-3776. You call, you ask your question, I take a moment, I answer it. Now, Ty, let's also clarify for the people. We're not doing like seven layered questions. The top five states it's one question. Where did this guy go to college? Who won the 1974, college basketball national championship? One single question. Let's see how we do today. Let's go to Chris in Bethpage. Lead us off. You're on Stump Rothenberg, Chris.
Hey, Dave, just very quickly. Ty is radio gold. I love the guy. It's like when Aaron Rodgers was carrying a clipboard for Brett Favre. You got to do something. You got to get him some more airtime. Seriously, the guy
is
great.
I'm working on it.
Okay, good.
A lot of love for Ty. Now, before we get to that, you heard him say the word we were discussing.
Yes. He said it the way you said it, which was hilarious.
Right?
Yeah, but listen. I like the way he said that because I have friends that say that when they kind of emphasizing something's funny, they go hilarious.
Hilarious.
I've heard that before.
But you would agree that the normal person out there on the street would say hilarious, yes?
Sure. Yes. But he was saying it for effect, so I'm giving him props for that.
I'm a big fan of Ty. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, okay. Anyhow, here's my question. Twice in NFL history in the draft have a school produced back-to-back overall number one picks. Last year it happened with Oklahoma. Remember Mayfield and Kyler Murray? When was the other time that happened? Overall number one pick. What was the school?
The top overall selection in the draft. You're not talking about first round picks, correct?
Yeah, the number one pick back to back years. They produced what's the only other school besides Oklahoma that did that?
Oh boy.
And one of the guys is a very, very famous guy.
A very, very famous guy.
Very, very famous guy. Probably the most famous guy ever picked,
USC.
There you go.
And I think is it the offensive lineman?
Yeah, Ron Yary in
68. OJ Simpson and Ron Yary, right?
In 69, yep.
Yeah. Okay, and there you go. That's a good question. That was an honest-to-goodness good question. And I thought there was a moment I wasn't going to get it, and I still would stand by it and say that's a good question. Steve in Brooklyn. Steve, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Who holds the record for most consecutive seasons with a touchdown pass?
Most consecutive seasons with a touchdown pass?
A former Tom Brady's teammate.
I don't want help. Mm.
You say that only because it sounds good that you don't want help.
Well, I don't want help.
But you did take the information in, and it's going to factor into your mental Rolodex and how you arrive at this answer.
I don't think I'm gonna have the answer. Most consecutive seasons with a touchdown pass. I don't think I know it. Tom Brady. I don't know. Let me think of a guess. I'm gonna say something with Michigan with Brady, New England with Brady. It can't be New England. We'll say Michigan. I don't know. I don't have the answer. I'm gonna guess. I don't know. What is it?
So the hint was a trick. Vinny Testaverde.
Well, how was Tom Brady involved in Vinny Testaverde?
He was teammates 06.
Oh, that's ridiculous. Yep. All right. Most consecutive seasons with a touchdown pass is Vinny Testaverde, former Jet. All right, Long Islander, by the way. Let's go to Jason in Jamaica. You're on Stump Rothenberg.
Hey, Dave, how are you? Big fan.
Good. Good, appreciate it.
All right, I have a soccer question.
Oh, God, I don't know. I don't know much about soccer.
And I think this is very fair, but we all know the name of the European champions is the Champions League Cup.
Okay.
What is the equivalent in South America?
Wait, so the South American Champions Cup?
Yeah, basically. The equivalent of the Champions League in Europe, what's the name of the cup in South America?
It's like Libertadores or something?
You got it. You didn't pronounce it correctly, but...
I don't know how to pronounce it, but it's like Libertadores or Libertadores or something like that.
You're the man, Dave.
And there you go. 2-1. All right, so it's a good start. 800-919-3776. Ty said he'd like to play today. We'll get to Ty in a moment. John in Newburgh. John, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Hey, how's it going, Dave?
Good, John.
So, in Derek Jeter's final game at Yankee Stadium, mm-hmm. he hit the walk-off RBI to win the game. Who is the player that scored the winning run?
Oh, my goodness. I don't think I know it. The winning run for Jeter's final game. I don't think I know. So we're thinking 14. I think it was the Orioles, right? And they came back to win that game.
Okay.
No, I don't get credit. I don't get credit with that. I don't know. It's, you know what it's going to be? It's going to be some, like, expanded roster guy that no one's ever heard of, isn't it?
Yeah, because he pinch ran, too.
Yeah, I don't know.
Antoine Richardson.
All right, so that's a good question. We could have been on the line for the next 19 hours, and I've never heard of Anton Richardson. So, all right, we're 2-2. 800-919-3776. Mike in Flushing. Mike, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Hi, Dave.
Hello, Mike.
How you doing?
Good.
I figure you might know this question, but I'll ask anyway. Who's the only college quarterback to win all four bowl games?
Wait, I don't understand the question. To win all four bowl games?
Yes, as a freshman, sophomore.
Oh! I thought you were talking about like four specific.
No,
Pat White did that.
Yeah, you got it, Dave.
The West Virginia quarterback did that. But remember, the Dolphins took him in the first round, and it was an absolute disaster. I don't know what I thought like the top four bowl games. All right, Ty, you want to play?
All right, let's do it. So last night's Mets walk to beat the Phillies was the 18th in franchise history, and it was hilarious. It was the first time
when they ripped off Alonso's jersey.
Yeah, it was for a team that's four games back in the wild card.
We get you, Ty. You're a Yankees boy. We don't need you to.
By the way, Edwin Diaz should not have been allowed to celebrate with the Mets. It should have been everyone else.
Here's the thing. People love you. You deserve your own show. This would not be it. So just ask your question.
All right. So the walk-off walk for the Mets, like I said, the 18th in franchise history. It was the first time it had been done since 2009. Who had that walk-off walk?
You think that's a good question?
It is. This should be something every Mets fan knows.
You really think that's a good question?
Yeah. It's rare to have a walk-off walk. It's only happened 18 times in franchise history. So I think you should know the last time it happened.
I mean, you really look at that and say that's like the last Mets walk-off walk.
I think this is your way of saying, I don't know, so now I'm going to turn the attention to the quality of your question. Just say you don't know.
Just say you don't know.
And then we can move on. Do you know the answer to the question?
I know it's Carlos Beltran, but that's not the point. The point is...
So you do know it because you looked it up. All right, you got it right.
Oh, yeah. Do you think you could even look that up?
You were stalling.
You know what?
You were stalling. That's why you had to do it.
Kyrie, I'd like to bring you in again as an independent arbitrator.
I got
Kyrie, are you not embarrassed for the game Ty is playing right now?
I'm not embarrassed. No, not at all.
For him, not for you. You've done nothing wrong.
No, I understand. No. I think it was fair. I think it was a valid question. I mean, it's directed to you, TaylorMade, Mets fan.
It's a horrendous question.
It was a great question. You had to buy time to find the answer to it.
Okay. You know what? Here's the way this is going to work. You're not allowed to participate next week.
All right, so then we're not going to have anyone participating.
Oh, no, 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 no. We're going to do a sensational edition of Stump Rothenberg, but it'll be sans you. You're suspended for 1 week on Stump Rothenberg. We're going to take one more because we're not going to end like that. Chris in Wantagh. Chris, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
All right, Dave. I got that's probably an easier Mets question. That one was a little crazy.
Go ahead, Chris. The floor is yours. That question was a little what?
It was a little out of left field, to say the least. I think some of these people try a little too hard to stump you. Let's see. My record is, who has the Mets record for most consecutive hits in a game that Ramos was trying to break?
I think it's, oh God, Hubie Brooks had a lot. I think it's, is it Beltran also?
No, it's not. It's Moses Alou.
Moses Alou, right? Moses Alou.
Yeah, that's the guy right. Going one that was.
That's a better. I got it wrong, and that's a better question.
All right, all right. Good luck, Dave, with the NFL season this year.
Appreciate it. 800.
Yeah, good luck with the NFL season, since you're going to be playing in all these games.
You know, he gets it. That's a man that gets me. The Stump Rothenberg is over, by the way. You almost single-handedly ruined it, Ty. You're trying to bring it down. I know what you're doing.
What is it that I'm doing, David?
You want to be a host.
Oh, God. Here we go. All right. Conspiracy theory, lay it on me.
You want to be. Now, of course, I would ask Kyrie about this, and he would be like, no. Ty could do nothing wrong.
I'm no Ty Homer. I'm just calling it straight down the line.
He's objective.
I like Ty. He's a great guy.
But.
No, but. You want to be a host. You're pushing forward to be a host.
Now, what does this have to do with Stump Rothenberg?
You want to sabotage. Here, let me explain. You want to sabotage this segment so that when you get your own show, you can launch Stump Butler. Stump Butler featuring Newhouse's own Tyreek D. Butler. Ask me anything, and you're going to take it. It's almost like identity theft is what you're attempting to do to me right
Dave,
now.
Dave, do you realize that prior to your vacation, you went 2-7 in Stump Rothenberg, so much so that the program director, Ryan Hurley, who thoroughly enjoys this segment, his son loves it, listens to it in the car, they had to get you off the air for 3 weeks. So you called it a vacation, but the reason why you were on the air was because you were so bad, they were so embarrassed, you had to be suspended.
And now you've gone too far.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
The just sensational RJ Bell. Good morning, RJ.
You know, I was thinking about it, Dave. Something has dawned on me.
All right.
You know how they always say every small town across America has a guy who's, this. He might be a tough guy. He might be a witty guy. And then those guys go to the big city and they find out, they're not the toughest. They're not the wittiest. But maybe.
Am I going to be the butt of the end of this?
No way. I mean, with the affection I have for you, it's impossible. So then if they're the wittiest or toughest in that big city, they go to New York City, let's say, and they're not. You know something? I am. It just dawned on me. Wherever I've gone, and now I'm at the pinnacle against from what I can see, the wittiest guy at ESPN New York, and it's really not a contest. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to just back off. I think I've established it, and focus on winners.
We love winners. We enjoy your brand of comedy. We're a fan of your football analysis. I mean, we like it all. We don't want to solely stick to winners. We're looking for everything that you bring to the table.
It's going
to
happen inevitably. When you say something,
can't hold
I don't
that kind of talent down.
Yeah, exactly. But someone's got to be the best, Dave.
You want to follow him on Twitter? You can at RJ in Vegas. You say I love him. When can I catch him? When can you not catch him? On 98.7 ESPN. When can you catch him? Thursdays, 4:45 on the Michael Kay Show. Fridays, noon, Humpty Canty Rothenberg. Saturdays, 11 for the hour with me. Let's get rolling. We've waited for today. We've pined for the opening of football. And let's be fair, RJ, we saw a stinker the other night, huh?
Well, I got to tell you, I think it speaks to some games this weekend. And here's why. These quarterbacks aren't playing as much as they should, and some aren't playing at all. In fact, Trubisky, 0 passes entering game 1. So none in the preseason. Also, Aaron Rodgers, none.
Right.
I had a bet, which I loved. I gave out right here on the station, under first half. That was an easy one. There's another game. Maybe we'll tease at the end of the show. I'm going to give a best bet. Another under first half for Sunday.
That you love.
I really do, actually. And I didn't see it clearly at first, but now I do. And it's not obvious, but I do love it. And I got to tell you, I'm not sure this is a bad calculation by these coaches, meaning maybe they're thinking, okay, we're going to give up or gain three less points, let's say, score in the first half of game one, but we make it impossible our quarterback gets hurt in the preseason. I don't know if that's worth it or not, but what I know is let's take advantage of it in game one, and there are a number of other quarterbacks. What's funny is last year Goff was the only quarterback not to throw a pass amongst the projected starters. This year there were five of them, so it seems to be a trend.
So let's. I want to get into every game with you because I know typically we have such witty banter that it carries us to like 11:45, and then we have to rush through games. I want to try to this year hit every game as we move through and get your takes on stuff. But I do have a couple questions, and the first one is not specifically related to a game. Rick and I were having a conversation the other day because I think you either tweeted it or I'm pretty sure you saw it. Each quarterback's impact spread wise on the game. Did you see that?
Yeah, there was an online book that put it out.
Right.
Yes,
And, you know, like Rodgers was 7.5. We've talked about him, and you've said he's got the highest number correlated with him to anybody probably in the history of the NFL. And Rick said, I wonder, you know, what's a guy like Barkley? And I said, you know, Barkley, Lev Bell, I said, I think they're only, you know, a point and a half, maybe. And he said, no, that can't be. What, like, the elite player, the Beckhams, the Barkleys, the Bells, the Gurleys, like, how much spread-wise do they influence the game?
Yeah, so non-quarterbacks, there's and again, some of this is going to be art, not science, where one chart might say one thing, other might be a half point different. But here is what I believe, based on Fezzik, who is a guy we have at the site, and there's five guys on his list worth a point and a half, and that is the top tier. Barkley is on that list. And then there's about a dozen that are worth a point, and then about 40 worth a half a point. So on one hand, unequivocally, no one's worth more than a point and a half other than quarterbacks. And number two, there's only about 50, you know, a little less than 60. So about two per team, a little less other than quarterback that move the needle.
Which is amazing to me. How about like the great defenders? If Khalil Mack doesn't play, does it move it at all?
Yeah, oh, for sure. Mack, maybe even a point with him. Donald with the Rams.
For the Rams, yeah.
For sure. And a few others. But in general, and this is kind of something it took me a long time to wrap my mind around, because on one hand you could say, well, if there's only two people that move the needle, why is it when a second string receiver, you know, Cooper Kupp's out, oh, they're talking about that a good bit. To me, they move the needle. It's just not discernible. Maybe it's a tenth of a point. Maybe it's a 20th of a point. And if you add those up and you have two or three guys out,
right,
it can be meaningful. And then, and this, you got to say this once, cluster injuries are worth more. So, for example, if three of your linemen are out, none of them individually might move the needle, but boy, oh boy, three of them out certainly does. So more injuries than one at any position group can be extra impactful.
So, and I don't know, you know who he is because you're a football fan. You've been a football fan your whole life. I would think, and I could be wrong, that a guy back in the day like Lawrence Taylor would move it as much as any non-quarterback in the history of football.
I think so. I mean, if you, and again, how much of that?
So what is it like if Lawrence Taylor doesn't play, is it 2.5 point difference?
That's interesting. I've had this debate before about the great running backs when running was more important.
Uh-huh.
And we thought, you know, Walter Payton, those kind of guys, we estimate about 3 points they would have been worth. But remember, no one in the history of the game has been as valuable as quarterbacks recently. And Aaron Rodgers today isn't that guy, but even a couple years ago, he was worth 10 points a game. And when he got hurt, we saw it. Literally, the game where he got hurt, the next week's line was already out, and it moved 10 points once it was reset. And if anything, it actually got bet against the Packers that week, I remember. It was upwards of 11. Obviously, Rodgers in his prime, you know, one of the greats, but all, and no, I'm not a huge fan of his, but certainly one of the greats, but quarterbacks in the last couple of years more important than ever. So Joe Montana, let's say, one of the greats, he right. would have never been worth 10 points just because quarterbacks were not as important back then.
All right, so we have a lot to get into. The Jets, the Giants, the rest of the NFL. Maybe we'll get a college pick from you today as well. You have the monster guaranteed five-star play coming up a little bit later on as well. So there's a ton to do. You accept callers as well, right?
You know, let's just say this. We'll take as many calls as are good. And the first bad one, we're done with callers. So I think you got to set the bar high with callers, Dave.
So one bad call, like one, you know, hang up, one not ready for the call, that's it? That ruins it for everyone?
I mean, let's be honest. You do 3 hours, right, every yeah. weekday? Callers are when you guys, you know, someone wants to go to the bathroom, someone else is trying to make their reservation for dinner. I mean, to me, with cell phones today, especially, I mean, this is kind of inside radio stuff. With cell phones, it's so hard to get a good connection even these days. You know, I'm not a caller guy, but I love New York City callers because you get the accents. So, you know, to me, I will leave it up to you.
So you really are disparaging the callers in their entirety.
I think generally people are very stupid.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
I'm going to let you guess what my song was when we walked into the reception. So you walked into Summer Wind.
Was it Sinatra?
No.
Okay. Karma Chameleon.
Yes. Boy George. We actually had Boy George at the wedding. Yes. No.
I have no
all right,
idea.
Think about what I do for a living.
All right. You
all
talk.
Right, and then maybe work from there. Think about what sport we're talking about right now.
So football talk. Oh, so that's interesting. I'm thinking NFL films, that the voice, like the voice of God guy.
John Facenda.
Yeah.
Now, it's interesting that you'd say that. So I walked down the aisle to Classic Battle. Do you know that song?
No.
Maybe Ty and Kai, the duo back there across the glass, could find. When you hear Classic Battle, I guarantee you know it. So we had like a full band, right? And they played music while we walked down the aisle. My wife walks down to like Bach or something. Here you go.
Ooh.
You know this, right?
Yeah, I do.
Of course you do. So she walks down to something fancy, Bach.
You said
I. We're meeting with like the band leader. He's like, "What would you like to walk down to?" I said, "Classic Battle." He said, "What?" I said, "Yeah, NFL films, Classic Battle." He said, "Oh, okay." So I had to give him the NFL film CD, so he could listen to it, and they could learn it. So that's what I walked down the aisle to. But what when we walked out into the big banquet hall, the big room. Are you ready for some football?
Ooh, I don't like that at all.
No, it was great. And I'll tell you why. because we walked out to it, and everyone was like standing, clapping, singing. We went around giving high fives to everyone.
So how long was it till you got divorced?
15 years, baby. We're still married.
And you still haven't got divorced? Oh,
no. I stand by. I think that our marriage is better today than it's ever been.
Well, I tell you, sounds like she's an amazing person.
An amazing woman. You wouldn't believe that someone like me would have a woman like this.
Listen, not to get it off of Dave Rothenberg, but I have an idea.
Yeah.
I do something on my show. We call it Pick Graffiti. And what happens is we let callers call, but they have 11 words. And at the 11th word, it doesn't matter. They get cut off. So it might be make your pick on this game tonight, you know, if it's a big game. I think we should have 11-word questions. You call up, you got 11 words, make it quick, and we'll just rapid-fire through some questions.
So if they say, hey how
that's
are
word
you
one.
Doing, that's five.
Hey, if they're that dumb, then they don't get a question.
So, all right, what do you call it?
There was a guy named Alan Combs. You might remember he was on with Hannity for a while on Fox. He used to have a radio show in the 90s. It was called, and he had Radio Graffiti. This is pre-internet. You'd call up and get like 11 words, and caller after caller they took at the beginning.
So just almost to get like you spray it on there quickly and run away?
Exactly. Like you,
the name of it is horrendous. The concept is good. The name
I think it's great because graffiti is you've got to be judicious with your words.
No, let's go 11 words or less.
Okay, that's right.
11 words. All right, 11 words or less. So there's no, you know, I love RJ. I follow him on Twitter. Dave, you're more handsome than I even realized. None of that. 800-919-3776 in a segment called 11 Words or Less.
Trademark now, RJ Bell. Now, real quick.
Yes.
The board ops, whoever's taking the call, has to be ruthless. Because if they let it go, then it's called moral hazard. Everyone's thinking, oh my, that 11 words or less is BS. No. I don't care if they're talking about their grandmother's illness. Boom, 11th word, you're done.
11th word, 11 words or less, 800-919-3776. We'll line those up. We'll get to them. All right. So I want to ask you about the locals because, you know, people love to bet on things that and a lot of people don't do it professionally. Most people do it just for fun. And they watch the Jets and the Giants and they're interested in potentially winning, which is the goal. But they want to have fun about it. But if we can educate them and have fun, that's the goal of what we do from 11 to 12 o'clock every single Saturday. So we'll start the early game tomorrow. Jets, Bills. Jets are giving 3. You mentioned it yesterday. I kind of feel the same way. I kind of like the Bills and the points in this game.
Yeah, so we have our picks in for the Super Contest Gold $5,000 entry. Had a heck of a year last year. One of our picks, you have to pick 5, Bills +3. To me, I just am not sold yet on Darnold. I know that if you say, well, the last month, the passer rating, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I don't know, right? We'll see. I think if you look at the entire season from Darnold, and then you look at all the quarterbacks in the last 5-7 years, rookie year, and then the quarterbacks who succeeded, you know, who have been elite, I don't know if Darnold even makes, you know, let me ask you just from memory.
I got to be honest with you. I really like Darnold.
Oh, really, a lot of people like him for the intangibles, for his arm strength, but haven't we figured out yet that doesn't make, you know, anyone drafted number one? Trubisky has good arm strength, right?
But I never liked Trubisky.
Yeah, but here's my question. Let's just look at the QBR from last year, and you tell me quarterbacks who have made it, have they had a QBR that low?
So you're talking, I don't know what their QBRs are off the top of my head.
Yeah, so I'll pull his up as we're chatting. It just feels like he had a rookie season that was below the bar for what kind of rookie seasons elite quarterbacks as they emerge later have.
Let me just play the flip side of that for a moment. I think you would agree that the talent offensively on that team last year was way below average and way below what it is right now as well.
Yeah, and I think the O-line especially, and you know more than me, but I was actually following the Jets O-line pretty close at the end of the year. It seemed like they were in a pretty – and receiver too. They were in a pretty bad spot. But that was apparently the month he had the good passer rating.
But the last month of this – and that's the thing that rings true for me is he was, you know, pedestrian for a lot of the first 3 quarters of the season. And the last quarter – I thought he was really, really good and gave you a lot of promise. I really felt like that last year.
No, I think it's very possible that you're right.
That being said, I still like the Bills in this game because I think the Bills are as talented, if not more, than the Jets are.
And I like the fact that Josh Allen is going to run more week 1 than he is week 10 because, one, he'll probably get banged up like most running quarterbacks do. He might not even be playing. So it's important, Dave, and this is a good macro point quickly. When you like a team entering the season, be clear in your mind. Do I like them in week 1 or early in the year, or do I like them across the season? Now, oftentimes it'll be both, but sometimes it's not, right? Older teams, you like earlier, not as much later. There's all these different kind of ebbs and flows. I think the Bills are probably better early than late. I think the Jets are probably better late than early.
All right, this wonderful RJ Bell Hour on the Dave Rothenberg Show on 98.7 ESPN, brought to you by Smirnoff Spiked Sparkling Seltzers. Say hi, summer, and buy sugar with Smirnoff Seltzer with zero sugar and only 90 calories. Smirnoff Spiked Sparkling Seltzer, premium flavored malt beverage, the Smirnoff Company, Norwalk, Connecticut. All right, so you like the Bills plus the three. Giants are, what do you see in the number? A seven, 7.5? What do you have it as?
You know, I'll pull it up, but why don't we chat about the game and I'll get the updated number.
All right. So, I mean, listen, I love the Giants. They're my favorite team of any team that I root for. I just think defensively, there are so many questions. Offensive line should be better. Still not great. Cowboys are really good. I know that you gave us the stat about, you know, divisional games and week one and all that. Just for me looking at this game individually, RJ, I hope to be wrong. I don't think the Giants keep it all that close.
Yeah. So the line's moving past seven. Towards 7.5. Cowboys at home favored. The stat I think is very interesting is week one, divisional underdogs since 2000. So 20 seasons, this will be the 20th, 57% in over 100 games. And in the last 5 years, it's like 80%. So I don't take that as, you know, it's trending in the right direction. But it's not 80%, right? That's not the truth of this, no. the trend. So, to me, I think the Cowboys, I mean, let me ask you this, Zeke. How much value do you think today versus week four? Meaning, forget how much value it is, but what fraction of value? Is he 80%? Is he 70%? What do you think he is?
Well, I think you also have to factor in how many touches he gets. And I agree with you. I think he'll get less touches tomorrow than he will in week four, five, or six, just because he's probably not, you know, physically ready, and they don't want to use him that much. But Pollard looked great in the preseason, and I don't know. I look at this as a 27-14 kind of game that the Cowboys win. I hope to be wrong. I'd love for the Giants to win. I don't think you see a huge amount of Elliott. I just think the Cowboys are way more talented.
Yeah, let me ask you this question. What do you think happens if Dak doesn't sign? Because what I'm hearing is it was almost like, I can't imagine if Dak doesn't get his contract before kickoff. If he doesn't, is that a big negative for Dallas?
I hope so.
Yeah. I know you're rooting for the Giants.
I think he's the opposite of Antonio Brown. I think Antonio Brown is all about him. I think Dak is really all about trying to win football games.
Yeah, but Dak wants – listen.
Of course he wants to get paid, but do you think it affects him as he goes out on the field? I would say that's unlikely.
Well, I'll tell you this. You can't get – unless I'm mistaken, it's going to be very difficult. And maybe they could set it up in a contingent fashion and then turn it on if they don't sign. But if he goes on that field without insurance, right, catastrophic career, then literally one hit, Theismann style or whatever, he does not have generational wealth. In fact, he's probably have to work at some point. So, I mean – I don't know about that. I guess it matters what your standard of living is. I don't think that cannot not matter, right?
So all that being said, and I want to get back to it, and we got a break and come back. We'll play 11 words or less when we do. Is who do you like? Giants plus 7.5, or do you like the Cowboys?
I like the Giants a good bit here.
You like the Giants.
And the reason being,
are they in the Super Contest 5-pack?
No. But the reason being, there feels like there's this enthusiasm for Dallas when I'm not sure the Zeke signing does much on the field this week, and I'm not sure it does much in the locker room. I mean, Zeke, I know we got to run 30 seconds. It was unprecedented that he held out when he did after 3 years. It's never happened before. The fact he got the richest contract in running back history, I don't know if that goes over so well in the locker room.
All right, 800-919-3776. You're going to chime in, but you can do it in 11 words or less. We start that segment. It could sweep the nation. We don't know. But we start that next on 98.7 ESPN.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
All right, I have a question, and then we're going to move on to 11 words or less. But before we do 11 words or less, you also have to be brief in your answers.
I will convey what needs to be conveyed, Dave.
I mean, you can't go on like a filibuster.
Well, but here's the thing. Do you want to mislead the audience?
No, but you can do it concisely.
Oh, I am very succinct. Very.
Okay. As long as we're on the same page. I got a good tweet, and people love this, and I'm in one as well. Survivor, where you have to pick one team, no point spread, just to win every week. But the wrinkle there is you can only pick the same team once. So
yes,
Patriots week one,
I can give
them again.
I can give, I'm sorry, about 90 seconds of kind of the teach a man
to
fish.
So Brian Larson tweets in, NFL Survivor League, what team do you pick week one? I'll tell you who I took in mine. I'm taking the Eagles against the Redskins at home. But give us your 90 seconds or less.
Okay, so first off, a little shout out to ESPN LA, Mason in Ireland. I actually had 9 years I did with them, and great guys. They always would ask me this, and this is the simple answer. Amongst the spreads that are the biggest in a given week, ask yourself, who is likely to have a higher spread later in the year? Pass on them, go with the one that this feels like the highest spread it's going to be. Now, that's not a science, right? But in general, the Patriots might be, you know, 10 against a pretty decent team, right?
But you even might have them later in the year to use also.
Say it again?
You might have them later in the year to use.
Exactly.
Pass on them and bring them back later.
Exactly. So I'd rather lay 8.5 or have an 8.5-point favorite that won't ever be over a touchdown again than a 10-point favorite with the Patriots that say who will be 14 at some point. So in general, use Vegas to your advantage. Look at the spread, but if you think this team is going to have a higher spread, and all you got to do is ask yourself, is the team they're playing the worst team or one of the worst teams? If not, they're probably going to have a higher spread. Go with somebody else.
So you might want to kind of make a practice of going against Miami this year, I would think, then.
Exactly. You know, Dave, all joking aside, very high IQ response, because oftentimes it will be about playing against the worst teams, especially when they're on the road.
All right. Are you ready for the debut of a segment we like to call 11 Words or Less?
Well, since I invented it couple years ago, yes.
Now, if it goes well, I mean, we'll do imaging, sponsorships, the whole thing.
As long as it says trademark RJ Bell, we're fine.
All right. 11 Words or Less, 800-919-3776. What does that mean? That means that you have to ask your question in 11 words or less, and RJ promises that in less than 4 minutes, he will give you his succinct answer. Wayne in Jersey, you're on 11 words or less.
Mr. Bell, who do you think will win the Super Bowl?
Oh, see, so that's good. It. Do you see? That guy gave that some thought.
And he even included Mr. Bell.
He did it to taunt. It was great.
Yeah, because he had words to spare.
So we are going to attract a more intelligent audience. That's what I'm seeing. Or callers. I got to be honest with you. I don't think about it like that. I think about it based on the odds, who offers value. But I'm going to go one more time with the Patriots. I know it sounds goofy. It's chalk. Though Kansas City's actually slightly bigger favorite right now to win it by a smidge. And here's why. I think they all realize this could be it.
And you think this is their last run?
Well, I mean, listen. Look at Peyton Manning. The year before he was bad, his last year, so his next to last year, he had a really good season. And then I think the year before was one of the best seasons in NFL history. So when it happens fast. Look at Brett Favre. Right?
And you know who I think it's – and again, he's still really good. But I think you saw the beginning signs of it starting to happen last year. Drew Brees.
Oh, for sure. Now, there is some debate, right? So after Thanksgiving, his numbers weren't near as good. That Cowboys game, or that Thursday around Thanksgiving, I think it was the week before, it was a real problem after that. Now, some advanced analytics guys say, no, actually, Breeze was good. It just, he didn't have the counting stats. My eyes didn't trust that, but I will say one more thing about the Pats. I think, And other people have said this, I think they're going to run the ball this year so much more than people realize. And I think they're ready to protect Brady more than they ever have, where he's evolving into a very good game manager. And
now,
I'm not sure. Oh, go ahead.
No, go. You finish.
I was going to say, I'm not sure that's a problem, meaning that's a pejorative phrase.
And their defense is good.
Oh, well, I think it could be. And I just feel like it's a young team. And I get it. If you look at some of there's a lot of older players, but they're younger than they've been because some of those drafts, I think they've stuck. You know, Belichick's Belichick. By the way, real quick, September, October, November, December, January, obviously the months of the NFL season. If you look at Belichick, the worst straight-up record in September.
Got to be September, right?
The worst ATS record against the spread in September. So if you do want to bet against Bill, this is the month to do it.
By the way, you're not very good at 11 words or less.
Again, listen, you know, that'll be fun. I will try. I'll do 11 words or less.
Like, here's the way I envision your life going. You wake up in the morning, a little grumpy, go to the bathroom.
That's true.
Get yourself, you know, kind of put together as best as someone like you is capable of. Come at your wife. Your wife says, sweetheart, good morning. What would you like for breakfast? 12 minutes later, she's not exactly sure what you'd like for breakfast, but she can break down all the spreads around
But she gets a sense that, you know, he's pretty bright, though.
Yeah. I mean, no one will ever deny the intelligence that you bring to the table. It's the succinctness that question.
Now that we have a challenge, I will answer in 11 words or less.
David in Toronto, you're on 11 words or less.
AB, play for blank. David from Toronto on Twitter.
I love this. I missed it, though. AB, play for, what was it, Dave?
AB will play for blank.
Oh, the team.
Here's what I said earlier, and people said, no. How about the Patriots?
That's what I was going to say. But I don't think he's ready for that. Meaning that's maybe next year, right? There's going to be a team that will pay him. Here's my question to you, Dave. Mm-hmm. With the contract he signed with the Raiders, assuming that was in force, would any team take him right now?
Yes. Because you know how it is. Everyone always thinks, you know, we can fix. We'll be the team to fix him. We have a great locker room. We'll bring him in here. He'll be well behaved. He wants to play football, and they'll make it work.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.